Last week we talked about this year about reading people. And every couple of weeks when I'm preaching, I'm going to keep bringing us back to this because this year is our year of reading out the people. And these are not just conversations about reaching people. Actually, these are equipment of how we reach people. Because we don't want to be just talkers about this stuff and there's people going to hell in a handbasket. Like that, we want to reach people. We want to populate heaven, as Reinhard Bonnke says, plunder hell and populate heaven. And last week we spoke about that Jesus gave a model of outreach in Luke chapter 10. And he said to the disciples, which includes us, because the Word of God is not a history book. It's a commentary of what Jesus done and does. It tells us what he's like and how he does things. And what's in the book is a prophecy. What's in the book written back then is a prophecy of what Jesus does now. Are you with me? So if you have a view of the Bible that's a dusty old book, you need to shake your head and slap yourself around a bit and get into the Word of God and say, Holy Spirit, show me the absolute depth and the multiple dimensions that the Word of God is. And he will do that. And so Jesus sends them out to heal the sick, to preach the kingdom, and to cast out the devil. That was their mandate. I want you to go. What Jesus, they seen Jesus doing, he says, now I'm sending you out to do. And Jesus imparted to them the same anointing, the same power that, and authority that was on him. He gave it to the disciples. And we know in Matthew 28, he gave it to all of us that would follow him in the Great Commission. And he says this, when you go into a place and you're welcome, if you remember, he says, if you go into a place and you're welcome, you know, speak peace to that house. Now, first of all, he's saying, be a person of peace, a person of blessing. Don't be like grumpy old Mary that's in the job beside you and everything's negative and everything. You're the one with the hope of the world in you, the light of the world. So we can speak a better day. We can speak hope. We can speak like life into people. And I'll tell you what, and then Jesus says, and then if you speak peace and he invites you to have something to eat, he says, stay there in that house and have something to eat. Look, at being a person of peace and a person of blessing, I'm telling you, you'll get many invitations. And you will not be just tolerated as a person, but you'll be celebrated. You'll be like, here she comes. Here he comes. When they come into my world, I feel better. I leave them better person than when I entered into the presence. That's what Jesus was saying. They're the people that get invited. They're the people that you want to have a cup of tea with. But when we're the opposite, the worst thing we could be is saved but miserable. If we're miserable, we're missing something. And we just have to go to God and say, Lord, being honest, I'm missing something. I'm just a grumpy owl. And I'm missing something. If the joy of the Lord is my strength, I'm missing something. And it's not that, it's not condemnation. It's just saying, God, if you have it and it's mine, I want it. And Jesus says, when you're that type of person, they will ask you to stay. They'll say, here they are. Instead of, oh, here they are. We'd send the kids out to the door. My ma's not in. Like the gas man is coming, or the electricity man is coming, or the man is coming to collect the money is coming. You know that fear of, ain't he this blind person? Or like, we don't. What Jesus says, when you're a blessing person, you get invited to dinner. And he says, when you get invited to dinner, if anyone is sick in that house, pray for them. And we've had it with you. And then they will say to you, what's that all about? And you say, that's what the kingdom of God is all about. That's his model. Blessing, fellowshipping, praying, finding out the need, and seeing the kingdom of God come. And last week when we got on the sickness part, I said that this week I'll bring what it is and what the Bible teaches about healing the sick. So we'll get into that in a minute. But they said, find out our fellowship, out of having the cup of tea, because you're the person of blessing, you will find out the needs. And you can say, even if they don't believe in prayer, do you mind if I pray for your needs, for your son, for your daughter, whatever they tell you their needs are. And I don't know any person that refuses that. They mightn't want to pray. They mightn't want, probably people of no faith, but when you say, look, I'm going to ask my God to do something about this. I'm going to ask the God of heaven, because I believe in prayer. And I guarantee you they won't say, no, don't pray about my wayward child. I don't pray about my son. I guarantee you they won't. And God says he will answer. And then when he answers, see, it's not just about proclaiming. It's not just about proclamation. It's about demonstration as far as Jesus gave us in that model. He says, find the needs, pray. My Father will heal. And they'll say, and then say, that's the kingdom of God. Why wouldn't you want to come into this? So he says, heal the sick. So healing the sick is a genuine ministry of the Bible. That it's something that every believer is called to do. Every one of us. It's not for the special ones we see on God channels or produce the books or whatever. The Bible teaches us it's for all of us. That we can all lay hands on the sick if we believe in Jesus. And we can pray in Jesus' name and we will see the sick healed. Now the thing is, you might say, well, I prayed and it didn't work. Well, keep on praying. I remember Stephen Mond saying to me, Noah, if you start to get one healing out of 10, you'll start to get 10 out of 100. Because most people give up at the one. I didn't see it. I didn't see. God didn't come true. Whatever lies we start to believe, whatever the situation says was, I mean, and he says, and if you start getting 10 out of 100, Noah, you'll start getting 20. You'll start getting 100 out of 1,000. Are you with me? You start and you're like, and so it's for us all. And let me just give you a summary of what I'm going to speak on today. Healing of the sick, one is a benefit of the atonement. What's that? The benefit of the atonement is that Jesus died on the cross and took our sins and our sicknesses. When he died on the cross, he took both of them. And God releases the blessing of the atonement through the ministry of people. Jesus regarded the healing of the sick as these things, as proof that he was the Messiah, as proof that he had authority on earth to forgive sins, as evidence to others that the kingdom of God was at hand, and as an evidence of God the Father's love, as an evidence of the power of God, and one of the primary tools for evangelism, he gave us these things. Healing of the sick was a commission of Jesus to the disciples when he was on earth, and healing of the sick is a commission to the disciples today. So what is divine healing? We live in a fallen world. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, death came in, sin came in. If you want to know where sickness originated, that's where it originated. In the fall of man, death came in all forms and all shapes and sizes. And we have amazing medical people in the world, but we also know that medical people can't do everything. We need to know that the answer, one, divine healing, the answer is this, that Jesus in his dying on the cross, his act of atonement, healing and salvation was provided for. He took on himself the price for the sins of man, the penalty of the sins of man. And we believe this. We believe, don't we? Really easier. We believe that if I believe in Jesus through faith, that my sins are forgiven. But we believe that, and this is why we believe it, because the Bible tells us, Jesus himself said, I say to you, whoever believes in me will have everlasting life. Praise the Lord. I'm going to live forever with God. That's all I know. I'm going to live forever. Why? Because the Bible says, whoever believes, I'm a believer. Whoever believes, it doesn't say whoever does. It doesn't say whoever acts good or and out of believing you do good. But it's not about doing good that gets you into heaven. All the great acts in the world, you could give yourself to the world and not believe in Jesus. And I want to tell you, you're not spending eternity with him. That's what the Bible teaches. You could help a million old ladies across the world. And if you're basing your way on getting into heaven on good works, I want to tell you, it's an insult to God. The Bible says that your good works are like filthy rags. So if we're going to God based on, look what I've done, look who I am in the world. Look all this I've given to the poor. Look all this. You don't get into heaven on those bases. The Bible says you get into heaven based on believing in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us to get to heaven. John 3:16, we love it. For God so loved the world, whoever believes in him. He gave his only begotten son. And whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life. But what is not a popular, that's what we all believe. But what's not as popular as a theology, meaning a belief, a pillar of what we believe in, is that he didn't only die for our sins, and he didn't only take our sins on the cross, but he also took our diseases, the Bible teaches. So for one, when we take the cup with the juice in it, the red wine, or what's supposed to be red wine, we take that, and yeah, I believe the forgiveness of my sin. We take the bread. What's this for? It's for by his stripes we're healed. We believe in this one so readily, but we struggle with the other one because of what we see and not see. Listen to what the scripture says. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5. Write these stuff down. Get the podcast during the week. I'll mention all the scriptures. Because if you're going to present the theology, where are you presenting it from? Has to be from the Bible. So it can't be like, oh, this is a popular belief because such and such believes in it. No, it's what the Bible teaches. In the translation of the Bible, the New American Standard Bible, is a literal translation. So what is written in the original language is the word they use. Some other translations of the Bible will use popular words, or they will use a variation of that word. But like in the New American Standard, it uses the actual word that is in the Bible. And that's what I'm going to read from. So Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 53 that surely he took up our infirmities. Now, infirmities in the original language means this. Surely he took up our sicknesses and carried our sorrows, which actually means pain. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. This is the word of the Lord. Matthew quotes this. Matthew 8:16, he says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed was brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken in Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Peter commented on this. He also said that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. And by his stripes we are healed. Psalm 103 verse 2. He forgives all of our sins and heals all our diseases. He didn't die just for the forgiveness of our sins, but he also died for the healing of our diseases. Jesus' death and resurrection was a complete triumph over Satan and his kingdom. And the atonement affords, the dying of Jesus on the cross, affords freedom from every bondage that Satan can muster. Freedom from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of guilt, shame, freedom from demonic oppression, all curses, and to any satanic activity, freedom from bondage to sickness, disease, and even emotional illness. Jesus took upon himself. The blessings of the atonement are there, but somehow that God has allowed them to come through the ministry of the church, the laying on of hands, the praying for people. He releases the healing of the atonement through the church, which is you and me, through our actions and through our prayer. Why do you think Jesus healed the sick? The healing ministry of Jesus was central to his message. You don't read much about Jesus or go through many chapters if nearly any in Gospels were out healing, 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 all of it going on every time. When he referred to himself in the prophecy of Isaiah, he mentioned specifically he came to heal the brokenhearted, deliver the captives, recovery of sight for the blind, and setting at liberty those who were oppressed. Scripture after scripture states that Jesus healed. His preaching and his teaching, then he healed and he cast out devils. Why did he make this such a central part of his ministry? He wanted to show people, number one, he wanted to show people that this is his Father's will. Jesus says, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me. Everything I do is because he who sent me wants me to do it. Who sent Jesus? Father God. He was expressing his Father's heart. When John the Baptist, who believed in who Jesus was as the Lamb of God, and he bore witness to Jesus being the Lamb of God. And when he sent his disciples, he went to him and says, tell John that the sick are being healed. And the kingdom is being preached to the poor. Because John was in prison. John the Baptist was in prison. And he was like, said to his disciples, will you go and ask Jesus? He definitely the one. maybe got a bit jittery, maybe like, look, I'm going to lose my head like pretty soon, and I'll give my life to this, will you? Just ask him if he's the one. And when the disciples came to him, he was there, and he was preaching the gospel to the brokenhearted, preaching deliverance, healing people. And when John's people came and asked him, John asked him, goes, go and tell John this. The sick are being healed. The poor are getting the gospel of the kingdom preached to them. Tell them that, like that, that the kingdom of God, tell them that the kingdom of God is on earth. What was he saying to John, and what was John saying to him? Jesus, are you the Messiah? Are you the Messiah? And healing ministry of Jesus was one, the proof that he was the Messiah that was to come, because they were expecting the Messiah to heal people. Jesus healed wherever he went. Remember Jairus' daughter? Do you remember the woman with the issue of blood? Do you remember the lepers that came to him? It says that at one stage, it says that he brought all the sick, and all the sick was healed. It's like anyone that came to Jesus for healing, he healed them. Anyone that asked Jesus, Jesus, my daughter is sick, he healed them. There was nobody turned away from Jesus' ministry that was brought to him and asked him to be healed, that they weren't healed. He regarded the power to heal as proof that he was the Messiah. He was the fulfillment of Isaiah 53 and 61. He healed the sick as a proof of the authority that he had on earth to forgive sins. You remember they took off the roof to bring the paralytic down because there was too much room, no room in the house where Jesus was. So the four guys says, come on, we rip the roof off and we get into Jesus. And when they get Jesus, when he got him down, the man is there and Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven. And all the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law were saying, who does he think he is forgiving sins? Only God forgives sins. And Jesus knew what they were thinking. Isn't that scary? He knows what we're thinking. And he says, so that you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. This is what I'm going to say. Son, get up and walk and take your mat and get out here. And we were all filled with awe. Jesus healed, showed that he only hadn't got authority on earth to heal sicknesses, but also that he had the authority to forgive sins. He healed the sick as a proof that the kingdom of God was at a hand. I love just this. I read this somewhere and I couldn't find the scripture where I got it from. It was nearly like something when I read it that, like, the kingdom is here. Now move over, kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God is here. Now move out away, kingdom of darkness. And when Jesus came to heal the sick, he came in a way that was saying to the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light has just entered into the equation. And if you see wherever there's a clash between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness always loses. You go even through the Old Testament. There was setting up of the clashes between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil, and the devil always lost. Jesus knew the two kingdoms were at war. And there's some time in the kingdom of God, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And this is who, what Jesus calls the devil, the enemy. He's the enemy. Like you hear people say that all the time, don't we? The enemy was this or the enemy was that. Who named him the enemy? Jesus. Jesus said about the tares and the wheat. He said there's one who has planted tares, meaning weeds in fields. He says an enemy has done this. He regarded illness and sickness somehow with the work of Satan. When he was criticized about healing a crippled woman in Luke chapter 13, the woman on the Sabbath, and Jesus said, people were criticizing because he healed the woman. He says, oh, this woman not to be healed. She's being bound by Satan for 18 years. He's seen the kingdom of darkness at work, and every time he's seen it, he produced the kingdom of light. It says about Jesus, he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, he says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He demonstrated that the kingdom of God was at hand by healing the sick and casting out devils, to proclaim that the kingdom of God has entered into the equation." Why should believers pray for the sick? Why should we pray for the sick? Because Jesus is our model. He's our example. Jesus says, "Greater works than these will you do." Greater works that he done. Why? Because of the multiplication of people. That Jesus was once in one single person, but the Holy Spirit in us, now the kingdom of God is multiplied. Why should we pray for the sick? Because Jesus said in John 14, "Whoever believes in me, the works that I do, they will do also." Wow. The works that I do, they will do also. And the works of Jesus obviously included praying and healing the sick. And God generally uses man and woman to bring this to pass on the earth. Yet God can heal anyone sovereignly. But I don't think there's anywhere in the New Testament after the Gospels that God healed anyone sovereignly that is written. But he had through the church. He had through individuals like you and me. He uses people to preach the gospel, to teach sanctification. He uses people to exercise spiritual gifts for edifying the body. God generally uses men and women to bring deliverance from demonic oppression. And God generally uses men and women to break the curses of poverty and hopelessness. Who are these men and women? You and me. He brings the supernatural to people who take up the assignments of God and say, "God, will you use me?" Is that not the way we ended last week? "God, will you use me? Will you use me to tell people that there's forgiveness of sin? This week, Lord, will you use me to heal the sick? Will you heal me to bring to pass what you have already paid for in the atonement?" And it's all through the scriptures where God used men and women. Moses prayed for Miriam, and she was healed from leprosy. Elisha prayed for the raising of the widow's son. Elisha, remember, he sent Naaman the leper to dip himself in the Jordan 7 times. Isaiah ordered the healing of Hezekiah, the king. In the New Testament, there is numerous accounts for healing that was worked by the Lord and through the agency of his church. The gospel are full of instances of healing by the Lord with just the touch of a hand. Not just did they pray for people when Jesus sent them out and they were healed, but when Jesus went back to heaven. Because can I tell you, maybe 2/3 of the church in the world believe that healing's not for today. Where when you read the scriptures, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, well, then he does what he done yesterday, today, and forever. If he said that whoever believes in me will do greater works than this, I think we need to take hold of what Jesus says. It doesn't matter about our experience. It doesn't matter about whether we prayed for somebody and he didn't get healed or not. It's not based on us. It's based on what he said. He's our measure. He's the one. He's our example in all of this. Jesus got 100% record in praying with people and they were healed that were brought to him. And I believe he wants that for the church. I don't know what you're on, but I'm pretty low on it. In fact, when I first started out, I didn't know I was in ministry. I was just being Jesus' lover up in Dalton's Barren Flats. Nearly everyone I prayed for died, honestly. People were dying of HIV AIDS and I'd go and pray for because I loved them. I had 100% record. I pray you die. I want to tell you how disheartening and faith destroying that can be. But it doesn't mean we stop. It doesn't mean we don't believe what Jesus says. It's not my measurement. Don't measure off me. Don't measure off your experience. That's a recipe for disaster, discouragement, disappointment, walking away. You're a God of words, not of power. That's where I was at. I'm reading this, I'm not seeing it. Don't measure off me. Don't measure off your own experience, but measure off what Jesus says, God says in his word. Healing by the believers after Jesus' ascension is all the way through the scriptures. Acts chapter 8, Philip healed many in Samaria. He healed that many in Samaria that the whole city rejoiced. Ananias was used to open Paul the apostle's eyes. Peter healed the lame man at the temple. Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. Hello. You know, we prayed for Stephen to be raised from the dead. Why? Because the Bible says it was. Paul raised Eutychus from the dead. Eutychus in Acts chapter 20, that Paul had preached for so long, he fell out the window asleep and died. In fact, Eutychus was Stephen's name up in Teen Challenge, Tiglin. Because we're doing a marathon Bible reading, and Stephen got chapter 10, and when someone finished chapter 9, it was due to Stephen to read, and he looked around and he was... And it was on that passage where Eutychus fell asleep. So his nickname was Eutychus up there, but Paul raised him from the dead. Acts chapter 19, Paul done special miracles in Ephesus. Not just when Jesus was on earth, but this was for people that was to come out, he rose from the dead. Paul writes that spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit include gifts of healing for the edification of the church. Ministry to sick is a demonstration of God's love for people. God wants to show his love through you and me. People are suffering in all shapes and sizes. Just walk up to the hospital. Just go into your news agent. The challenge for us and the belief in scriptures that we have that Jesus wants to heal that person. He already paid for that sickness. He already took it upon himself. And he wants to use you and me to heal the sick. He wants to heal the sick to demonstrate his power. To demonstrate that he's greater than any sickness. That Jesus says to the disciples, you and me, the eternity I have, I give to you. The anointing he had, he poured out the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 so that we could do what he'd done under the power of the Holy Spirit. What's left for us to do is to step out in faith. It's like, Lord, will you use me? What if it doesn't happen? What if it does? And we see, like, in Acts, it was a tremendous tool. Like, in Joppa, in that place where Dorcas or Eutychus was raised from the dead, the whole town came to know Jesus. One miracle, and a whole town came to know Jesus. Because people out there don't want us just to talk a good shop. They want us to be the church. They deserve us to be the church. They deserve us that know him, to be used by him to bring healing, to demonstrate God's power. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18, all authority has been given to me. I now give it to you. Way ahead of your notes. Healing the sick is our evangelism today. Evangelism meaning you to other people. If you look at any of the great revivals over the years, China, like 120 million or something. 10 years came to know Jesus. Why? Because healing ministry to the sick was really, really prominent. Argentina, another tremendous outpouring of God's Spirit. Cities coming to know Jesus. Because healing of the sick was involved. It's hard to account for in a revival over the last 100 years where tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, came into the kingdom where healing ministry was not involved. Praying for the sick is part of Jesus' commission. He went to all the world to make disciples, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. Baptize in the name of the Father. How do we pray for them? Very carefully. Jesus says, if you ask these things in my name, it's good. How do we pray? We pray in Jesus' name. We ask God the Father to heal, but we command the sickness to go. How do we, Father, in Jesus' name, would you heal this person? But when the sickness is there, arthritis, we command you to go in Jesus' name. We don't ask the sickness to go, we tell the sickness to go. But we ask Father in Jesus' name. You with me? So if someone is sick and you meet someone today or tomorrow, I pray for you. What do you pray for? People think in Ireland, people will accept that anybody, I guarantee you, do a little thing this week. Can I pray for you? Yeah, of course you can. They think you're going to go home tonight and you're saying your prayers. He said, can I pray for you now? See, if you pray now and you ask the Holy Spirit to come, he always comes. And they will say, I feel something. I feel heat, electricity, pins and needles, warmth. All the things that you've experienced and I've experienced. And when we do it, when we step out, his promise, it's over to God now, not down to us. You know, when, and the caution is when people do get healed, that we don't take the glory, don't we not? Who do we give the glory to? So when we don't get healed, we also don't take the guilt. If we don't take the glory when they are healed, we also don't take the guilt when they're not healed. Because God knows why and where and when. But if we ask Father in Jesus' name, the promise in the scriptures is that we will have it. When we talk to the sickness, we command it in Jesus' name, it will go. Amen? Nearly finished. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he's one of their friends, Miletus. He could go with them. You know why? He was sick. I'm sure Paul and all those guys prayed for him, but he didn't get well. Paul said he was sick. So some are not going to get well. But if we don't take the glory, we can't take the guilt. That we ask Father and pray in Jesus' name and command in Jesus' name the sickness. If it doesn't happen, we have to bless them. We have to pray with them again even. Offer them more prayer. We can't walk away going, oh, it doesn't work. We can't walk away with guilt. What we leave people with out of every ministry is love. God loves you. He cares for you. We love you. Love you enough to pray for you. Would you say sickness is one of the greatest things? Probably is. The Bible says greater than all of this love. So the least they should know is really the greatest. Is that they're loved and cared for. The least they should know, which is really the greatest part of the Bible, is that God loves them. How do we do this? We ask the Holy Spirit to come. We ask the Father in Jesus' name. And we command the sickness to go in Jesus' name. And last week, it was very simple. Probably didn't forget. Because when we stand before God, I really think he takes us serious. I mean, he takes us at our word. When I stood up to give my life to Jesus 20-something years ago now, it's been a long week, I can't think. I know it's the 22nd of March 1989, Tuesday evening. No, 8:40 or something. 8:40. I know this, I stood up and said, Jesus, will you be my Savior? I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Would you take my sins? I'm not going to heaven because of that. And so what I'm saying is that God really took that serious. And last week when we said, Lord, you use me, he did take that serious, meaning that he'll give us all the tools that we need to follow that through. And this week, Lord, would you heal me? You may have sickness in your body. Will you heal me? Will you also use me for you? Lord, would you heal me? Because you already took my disease on the cross, my sickness, my ailments, my pains, my sorrows, my physical, my emotional needs, brokenness that I feel inside. The Bible says that you all took all those sorrows. So can I trade today sickness for healing, joy for sorrow, freedom, dancing for lameness, sight for blindness, hearing for deafness, respiratory problems, healed in Jesus' name, so that we can give glory to Father. Could we all stand, please? Oh, first, no, sit down, sorry. Just if you need healing, would you stand first? Any ailments? Amen. We took you, Lord. Simon and the team could come in, so they're not standing up. And I loved that song that we sang earlier. The name that's higher than any other name. The name of Jesus is higher and over all of our sickness. So who does this healing? Is there someone up the front with a microphone? God forbid that's on. God wants to use us, the body. So the others that are sitting down, would you go to somebody here and put your hands on? Now you're left with heal me. There's not many left. You're like thinking, God can't use me. Do you know, I failed yesterday. And all that stuff that will come to your mind right now. Father, we confess our sins and we ask for your forgiveness. We ask that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't want to be robbed. I want to be a clean vessel today, Lord. And I accept your forgiveness. So now you can go and pray with people. You might be challenged. You know, I prayed and nothing happened. And everything in you is like, don't do it. Don't go and pray. Why don't you take that thought captive right now? Say, no, I'm not giving into any thinking that's contrary to what Noel has taught today. What Noel, you know, I didn't tell any stories. I didn't sing any songs. I wanted to bring the Word of God, just the pure Word of God. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible teaches. That's why there's so many scriptures. It's a doctrine. It's a belief. It's a pillar of the church and the ministry of the church. Has anyone, someone not got somebody that needs somebody? If you want to not just sit down and just stand with someone, even you don't have to do the praying, the others will. Well, God wants to use us all. We bless you, Lord. You want to tell that person what's going on for you? If you can, that's you know what I mean, if it's private. We pray for this. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you, Father, for the preaching of your word, the teaching of your word, Father, that tells us that, Jesus, you took our sickness and our pains and our sorrows on yourself on the cross. And we thank you, Lord, that your word teaches that you died not just for the forgiveness of sin, but for the healing of the body, that these bodies would look like they would as if we're in heaven. Sickness-free, pain-free. We thank you, Lord. Your word says that it's by your stripes, Jesus, that we get healed. It's by what you took on the cross, Jesus, that we get healed. And we just declare and proclaim that truth over each life today. That Jesus, by your stripes, we are healed. We proclaim the truth that you forgive all of our sins and heal all of our sicknesses. And to all of those who came to you, Jesus, you healed every one of them. We bring our brothers and sisters before you today, Father. We thank you, Father, that Jesus expressed your heart for the healing of the sick, O God. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, would you come now, bring relief and fix what is out of order, Lord. What's not working, oh God, that you would go to work on it, Lord. What's broken, oh God, would be fixed. Wounds, Lord, would be healed, oh God. Brokenheartedness would be healed, Lord. Captivity there would be freedom, oh God. So, Father, we ask right now. Father, would you heal in the name of Jesus? In the name of Jesus. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you use the body right now? Use your people right now to speak to that sickness and tell it to go. In the name of Jesus. If you've been told something by the person, tell it to go in the name of Jesus. To leave in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Glorify Him. Glorify His name, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If it's a physical problem that causes pain or whatever, move it. Do something with it that you couldn't do without causing pain or obstruction. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We speak to the inner workings of men and women today, Lord. And we say, be whole in the name of Jesus. We pray for deliverance, Father. We pray for deliverance, O God. We pray for deliverance in the name of Jesus. Habits to go in the name of Jesus. Any area of captivity in our lives, I proclaim and declare freedom into those areas right now. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ask the person, do they feel anything? Do you feel the Holy Spirit? Has the Lord spoken to you? Has He given you insight? Pray the love, the expression of the love of God over. We declare that Jesus has done this, does this, and will do this. That God has healed, does heal, is healing, and will heal in the name of Jesus. Hope inside, hope inside me. It means your name is finds me, always finds me. Is hope inside me, hope inside me. Father, would you use us this week that when we see someone sick, Lord, that we would ask you, Holy Spirit, do you want us to pray? Would you open the door for us to pray? Father, would you give us your compassion for people that are sick, oh God? We declare, Lord, that there's no sickness that you cannot heal. That there's nothing that your name is not above, Jesus. Lord, you taught us even death, Lord. Pray for the resurrection. So, Father, we don't give in to any idea, Lord. There's no hope. Or this is too hard. We say, Lord, you will make a way where there even seems to be no way. When the medical world have done all that they can, oh God, we look to you, Jesus. Would you use us this week, Lord? I say of myself, Lord, my household, will you use me, my household, in the healing of the sick for your glory, Lord? So that people would know that you're the Messiah. That people would know that you're the Savior. That people would know that you have authority to forgive sins. That people would know, Lord, that you want to use your body to demonstrate Father's heart to this world. Lord, use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Please stay with us and have a cup of tea. God bless.